Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Draft coming up Thursday night at 8 o'clock. We'll be doing the live draft show, taking you up to the Eagles pick. And we were joking the other day off air, like, all right, what time do we think this draft show is going to go to? Like, when are the Eagles going to pick? Because we always go through the Eagles pick on draft night, and we know it's at number 22. And who knows, whether it's not like 10 o'clock at night or whether they start at 8, 22 will be around 10 o'clock. But maybe it'll be a lot earlier. In today's Daily Mock, we have ourselves a trade-up. We'll get there, tell you who the Eagles are taking. All right, number one, we're going to ESPN today. Jordan Reed's latest mock, Caleb Williams, quarterback USC to the Bears. Number two, Jaden Daniels. And we got to get to the story going on with Washington in a couple minutes, because they may be annoying their brand new quarterback before they even draft him. Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback to the Commanders. Number three, the Patriots stay put and select Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. At number four, Arizona also stays put. A lot of people think they'll trade out. They take Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. Number five, Chargers select Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. So no tradeouts in the top five. Number six, Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU to the Giants. Number seven, Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington to the Titans. At number eight, we have a trade. The Falcons move down, Vikings move up, and the Vikings move up for J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. Number nine, Dallas Turner, edge rusher, Alabama to the Bears. Brock Bowers goes 10 to the Jets. Leiatu Latu, edge rusher, UCLA to the Falcons at 11. I like Latu a lot. And now, Hugh, we'd have to stop waiting for the Eagles, because here comes the pick. We have a trade in this mock draft.
Woo-hoo!
The Eagles trade the 22nd pick, the 50th pick, and number 161. So they swap three picks to move up to number 12 to select Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. As you mentioned a little while ago, they haven't taken a corner this high since Lito Shepard. Slay and Bradbury will be 33 and 31 years old at the start of next season. All right, Hugh, what do you think? 22 and 50 and 161 to get up, swap with the Broncos, and select Terrion Arnold.
I'm okay with this, man. You know, talking about 6 foot, 189 pounds, young Thundercat. It's all about playing in the run game. All about playing in the run game. As a matter of fact, I was in the break room talking to Ike about that. I feel like this is nothing personal for me when I talk about these corners and the way that they play. But I just feel like in this day and age, in this NFL, you have to have guys that are going to be in the run support game. They're going to have to help you in run support. And our corners don't do that. They don't do that. So we're going to need, in order for our team to be better, in order for our pass rush to get home, we're going to have guys out there that are not going to be afraid to get their uniforms dirty and play in the run game. And to me, neither one of these corners, well, I don't think Bradbury can do it anymore, and I don't think Slay is going to do it. You know, he's still a good corner, but I think in this NFL, you have to have corners that are going to come up and run support and play the run.
So I agree with you on that. And that's secondary for me. I know that's number one for you. I need guys that can run and cover, right? Because I don't think Bradbury could do that anymore. I also like it. It says when you look at a scouting report, he does both. He can cover, and he's not afraid to come up and tackle. His comparison on NFL.com is Marshawn Lattimore. I love that one. Before Lattimore's injury started, he was a star when he walked into the NFL for New Orleans. I like this idea. I mean, the Eagles' defense last year, I think only one team in the NFL gave up more passing touchdowns. from midseason, it was obvious they couldn't stop the pass. It was whether it was Sam, what's his name? Who was the quarterback with the Commanders last year?
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell, yeah.
Or Mac Jones or whoever. They just were getting torched because they couldn't cover. And I think they've done some this offseason. Obviously, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is a playmaker. But they haven't done a lot to remedy this. Like, we could hope that a guy like Eli Ricks or Kelee Ringo is ready to become a starter next year. Probably Ringo is more of a chance. But they haven't done a lot to address corner. This would qualify as a lot. Like, trading three picks to go get Terry and Arnold would qualify as a lot. And I would think he could be a starter day one. If you're trading up to number 12, Hugh, James Bradbury, whether he's here on the bench or whatever.
Yeah, that's a day one starter.
Yes.
No question about that. That's a plug-and-play guy. If you're moving up to get him at that point, yeah, he's a plug-and-play guy. No question about that.
Now, it is a lot, though, right? It is a lot. It's not cheap. I mean, trading 22, 50, and 161 is three picks. I mean, a first and a second rounder move up 10 spots. That is not a small price. Kyle, what do you think? Would you be good with Terrion Arnold?
Yeah, well, I'm well on the record with I hate the number 22 pick. I think it's a miserable spot for the Eagles to be in. And it's a tough spot. Like, if you are, like, the Eagles need a cornerback desperately. And I'm way more into drafting a cornerback than I am an offensive lineman. So if you're going to do that, you might as well get the right guy, get the best guy on the board. And I mean, hell, if they trade up for this guy, he better be the right guy. I would assume he is. So instead of waiting for 22 to get Cooper DeJean, why not trade up and get the best guy on the board?
Yeah, and you might not. And look, they could be shut out of corner totally if Cooper DeJean goes earlier than we think, right? If Arnold goes and Kool-Aid goes and Quinyon Mitchell goes. So this is an aggressive play. I like it. All right, before we get back to the phones here. Here, we got to mention this story because there's something going on here with the Commanders. Now, they have the number two pick, obviously. Caleb Williams is going to go one. The Commanders, everyone believes, will take a quarterback at number two. Well, they may have annoyed the quarterback they're going to take. Everyone seems to think it's likely Jaden Daniels from LSU is their guy. Did you see what they did last week with him and other quarterbacks?
Heard about it.
They brought them all in like a class trip instead of like a job interview for one person. Usually these visits are one-on-one, right? One player with team.
But it seemed like I wasn't there. But it seemed like it was a nice day. They went for a golf outing. They went and got ice cream. They played putt-putt or something like that.
Oh, did they?
They did some team activity stuff.
How would you feel if you were on a job interview and all the other applicants were there with you?
I mean,
I'd feel awkward.
I mean, I was on a job interview when I was trying to get drafted. I mean, my trip was an individual trip.
Well, that's what I mean.
But it's like, dude, I would have just been happy to be in the room, dog. It's different. I understand where you're going, Joe. It was different for me. I'm not a good example of that because it was different for me. I went to Central State University in Wilberforce. I didn't go to Michigan State. I wasn't a Spartan.
You weren't.
They don't know who he is.
Yeah, you weren't the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Like,
I wasn't that guy. I mean, but it sounds like a lot of guys were in their feelings a little bit. But this is a big decision. And we've seen how decisions have played into, you know, making or breaking a franchise. Bryce Young is considered right now, even though he's only played one season.
A bust.
Wow,
did you see him last year? He looked,
tiny. And CJ Stroud. You know what's funny? I saw this story about how Lovie Smith – did the Houston Texans a favor by winning that game that got him fired.
Pushed him to the second pick. It's the guy CJ Stroud.
Yes. They need to be sending them flowers.
Well, Lovey's also lucky that the Panthers made the wrong pick. Otherwise, he would have sent the Bryce Young.
Yeah, yeah.
So how about this? But it sounds like it annoyed Jaden Daniels, who probably would be picked by the Commanders on Thursday night. So his agent, Hugh, his name is Ron Butler. This will make you you'll laugh at this one. Someone found his likes on Twitter. You know what he liked? He liked tweets ripping the Commanders.
Yeah.
So Jaden Daniels' agent is liking tweets ripping the Commanders. One of them said this: how many companies do this? Puts them around their peers, bring in players from the team along with them to see how they interact. Who the bleep cares how they interact with other players they'll never play with? This doesn't make sense to me. That was liked by Jaden Daniels' agent. So if you need to smile today, Josh Harris. People skills lacking in Philadelphia. They're lacking in Washington. They're lacking all over the place. We'll see what happens with the top few picks. But Eagles in this mock trade up from 12 to 22 for Terrion Arnold.
I think this is something new. I think this is something different.
You think teams are going to start doing this?
I do. Because they were talking about potentially doing this.
But why? What do you think you learned from a group rather than just the one-on-one?
I don't know, because you know what's funny? You know what's funny about this? And it's funny how this story relates to something that's going on in my hometown. They're looking for an athletic director right now at my high school.
You going to apply?
Oh, hells no. That's nah. But the story is, it's between these two applicants, and I think they've applied at, like, they know about each other. So it's kind of the same thing. I think this is like the new innovative way of doing things.
Group job interviews.
Yes. I do believe so, because I feel like it kind of separates the people that you might want to meet. Because I kind of look at it like this. You've only heard one story of one person being perturbed about this whole
thing.
And
that's Jaden Daniels.
Yes. Why are you perturbed, though? Why are you perturbed? Because you felt – like, what couldn't you do in that group setting that you would have did all alone? Like seriously. It's they're talking to you about how you were running the offense or whatever, or football stuff. So I guess my question would be, why are you so upset that your agent is going out, you know, kind of undermining what you're trying to do this Thursday?
Would you say that the NFL draft's kind of the beginning of a relationship between the player and the team?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. This is maybe a little off the beaten path. A little off the beaten path.
Yeah.
If you want to take a lady out for a dinner.
Like, I was thinking The Bachelor when you was about to bring this.
Yeah,
analogy.
So like, let's say she says, I will go out, but I want to bring another guy too. Like I want to date both of you at the same time. Just see how everything goes.
That's how they do on The Bachelor.
No, I'm saying.
And it has worked out.
Has it?
On The Bachelor?
But I think the Golden Bachelor got divorced.
Already?
Yeah, they're done.
Damn.
I don't think of The Bachelor as like something that works.
But it's kind of like, but no, it's a couple people that went on The Bachelor and got married.
A couple of them. How many years have they been doing this, Hugh?
They've been doing it for a while.
Okay.
They've been doing it
for a while. The hit rate.
So wait a minute. The Golden Bachelor, he divorced already?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you're in the golden age, you can't wait. You got to see if it clicks or it doesn't.
No, dog. No. He like 70, ain't he?
Well, is that not a lot of time to figure it out?
That's what I'm saying.
Make hasty decisions.
But you married.
The upper room is calling you.
I'm pretty sure. What happened? Like, why did you get divorced? I don't like.
You heard him in the upper room's calling.
In the upper room. I don't understand. I don't understand what the problem is. But I guess that's just my demeanor. I wouldn't have had a problem with going on a golf outing with other people that might be potentially drafted. If anything, like what the Commodores had, like the third pick,
second pick.
If anything, I'm soft shoe. I'm tap dancing. I'm trying to make it better. I'm trying to be one of those ladies on the show. That's trying to get the rose at that point.
We don't know how he would act on
the Bachelor. No, I'm just saying, man, that's the second, you know what I mean? That's the second pick in the draft.
I'm looking at a threesome.
Yeah, but he thought that was his job interview.
God, I do not know how to act on The Bachelor.
You know, how about that D, baby?
I think we should get Hugh on The Bachelor.
No, that is not.
Now this is, be great.
That would be, we wouldn't go anywhere.
What do you mean?
We would play video games. And
it'd be great for the show.
Some women might like that.
Think
about, you never know.
Think about the appeal of this show if all these people that don't know about us start seeing you on The Bachelor.
Well, would I be the midlife crisis bachelor? Because I don't feel like I'm Golden Bachelor material.
No, you're too young for Golden Bachelor.
Yeah, because
definitely not Golden.
The denture status on that show. Did you see like some of those people dental work? You know, I'm big on that now since I go to the dentist like every.
Yeah, you
two
see
or three
that.
Days.
You see that.
I mean, you see stuff like that. You notice stuff.
I think the biggest issue you'd have on The Bachelor is you have to wear grown-up clothes. They dress nice.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah, but for ABC as well. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. We have Sam, who's up next. What's up, Sam?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Sam.
What's up? Nothing much. It really is days like this that makes you realize how much of an Eagles-Phillies town we really live in.
What? Well, why?
We've been covering... You know, God knows the.
All right, we lost Sam there. I think Sam had a point, but he didn't get to it.
That to me sounded like a guy who thought maybe I don't have a point.
He dropped out.
He just hung up trying.
He bailed.
He tried to play it off by talking and hanging up.
I think he thought he wanted to smoke and then decided last minute he did not.
The floor is yours. You want Reggie's in Westchester? Hey Reggie.
Hey guys.
Hey, what's Reggie. Up, what's up, buddy?
So have you looked at what the benches did the last Sixer game? So New York had way more contribution than the Sixers did. And not only that, you want Embiid to actually dominate, but yet don't try risky moves?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it? Have you ever seen an athletic move out of Nikola Jokic? Why do you need to dunk off the glass to dominate?
Why do you need to bring up Nikola Jokic?
Because he's the best player. Well, hold on, Reggie. I'll let you finish. He's the best player in the league, and he's the reigning champion of the league, and he's probably going to win again. So why wouldn't I bring him up?
But not relevant to our discussion.
Sure it is. Well, no, it is, Reggie, it is, because he's a big that plays within his body. He doesn't try windmill dunks off the thing to look cool. He tries to win games.
Okay. Let me just say this. Should I think Embiid, should he have played a little bit better? Yes, I do. But the only reason the Sixers are getting the open looks like they are is because of him. Every time he touches the ball, weak side help comes. Every single time. Okay, he's either doubled or tripled. Tobias had 7 points.
Tobias stinks. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, Kelly had 10 points. If Kyle Lowry didn't hit some threes, we would have got smoked. Nobody else contributed, and look, you can't expect a guy to play ball and tell him don't do this move, don't do that move. Now he's thinking. Once you start thinking, you can't play.
But Reggie, I don't agree with that. Yeah, of course, there's a lot of elements of basketball that you have to just do naturally, like run, jump, cut. I get all that. I don't think it's crazy to say no alley oops to yourself off the glass. I mean, that's not a common play.
That'd have been
you and I. You and I aren't 7'2", 280 pounds.
I know.
These guys do. That's what they do.
It's not. How often do you see that in a playoff game?
Are you kidding me? Have you been watching the NBA?
Yes. How many centers did that this weekend?
I don't know about this weekend.
None.
I
have the answer. I watched all the games.
I don't know.
Well, I know. Nobody tried it except him. Here, Reggie, what is strange to me about it is we all agree he's skilled. He can get to the free throw line. He makes free throw shots. He can make jump shots. He doesn't need gimmicks to put the ball in the basket. Just shoot it.
Well, I'll say this, and then I'll let you guys chop it up. It's that we need help from the bench.
Yeah, the bench needs.
But that, I mean, New York only won because they had 5-6 guys in double figures or close to it. We had 3. I mean, you can't. You know, Maxey's getting these looks A because of Embiid, B because he's super quick. Okay.
Well, that's
Kelly
true.
Kelly Oubre's getting looks because he's athletic and he's kind of quick, but the rest of them rely on Embiid. They playing off of those doubles and triples. We need bench scoring. We need bench rebounding, as you said earlier.
Well, they need a lot more rebounding. Reggie, we agree on that. And I think Maxey, for as good as he was, as long as he's healthy enough tonight, we'll see how he is because he's apparently questionable with an illness. He could do more late. I mean, he could take the ball instead of Embiid late. I'm all with that. It's almost like when people hear, I think Embiid needs to be better, they think I don't think the bench matters at all. I know it matters some, but
you can't. I know what you mean, Joe. He can't be timid down the stretch like he was last night. But I attribute most of that to the fact that he was a little banged up. Like, he was not banged up. He was nervous. He was nervous about his health, and he didn't want to get injured again. That was a little bit of that. A little bit of trepidation.
So here's my thing. Like, we say he can't be timid, and then we go crazy when he, like, Joel Embiid doing that self-alley-oop thing, that's something that I think you said, we don't see other people do it. Yeah. Nobody else could do that. Like, Joel Embiid is a different type of player. He's going to be Joel Embiid. So we talk out of both sides of our mouth and we say, we don't want him to be timid. But then when he's out there being Joel Embiid, we freak out and say it's irresponsible.
It's not.
Like, he has to let him go out there and be himself.
Again,
I don't get it. It's like, what do you want from this guy?
To be smart.
I want him to go out there and be the best player on the floor, be dominant, do things that nobody else can do.
But he's
be Joel Embiid. That's being Joel Embiid.
Obviously, he's telling everyone, it's not my words, they're his, to Lisa Salters, that he's not 100%.
But he's being cleared to play, so let him go out there and give it everything that he has.
Then okay, but then I don't want to hear excuses that he's tired or he's banged up in the fourth quarter. Why? What play on Saturday did that?
I'm not making excuses for that.
You are. I'm just saying, but like people have. Like, he's obviously not himself. He can't lift in the fourth quarter. Well, what play seemed to be the reason for that?
Well, look, I mean, I think that was a matter of him, like we say, he needs to go out there and he needs to trust that he is fully healthy. Him doing that, him putting a ball up to the glass and then alley-ooping it to himself, was him showing that he trusts his knee. And then he had a little bit of a scare, and he might have been, you know, out of conditioning or whatever. At the end
after
of the game,
that, he was intimidated.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, we're trying to get him to break over this threshold of, like, not being timid and trusting his knee. Well, that was that. And then we all complain about it. It's like, we don't, like, The guy can't win to me today.
I immediately went to Twitter after that.
Well, he can win by winning. I mean, this is the NBA playoffs. You win by winning.
And doing that was a winning play.
That was not.
Yes, it was.
No. I totally disagree with
that. So you wanted to step back and take a jump shot, which he could miss, or he could literally put the ball in the net himself. That's a winning play.
Initially, it was like, ooh. Then it was like, ooh.
It was amazing.
It was silly.
It was Joel. It was something that only Joel Embiid can do.
Anthony Edwards does it every other game. Athletic players do this.
Anthony Edwards is like half the size of Joel Embiid.
So you think it's cool? Just say that.
Of course I think it's cool, but I also think like that's him being him. This is what we love about Joel Embiid.
He was trying to get comfortable, Joe, and he was trying to take over. And it just,
Do we want him to take over games or not? Like, we say he needs to do more, and then when he does more, we get upset.
No, he has to be able to preserve his body.
So hypocritical.
No, it's not hypocritical. His job is to play four quarters at a high level, not dunk the ball in the second quarter.
Do we want him to dominate, or do we want him to be timid?
Since when does
overthink things?
Since when, in what world, is dominating dunking? Just score, dude.
He literally alley-ooped and dunked over about four different guys in the paint. That's domination, man.
It's not to me. It doesn't matter how you score. Kevin Durant scores from 40 feet away. Steph Curry used to dominate by shooting from 50 feet away.
That's those guys. Embiid's not those guys. Embiid is Embiid. Well, Embiid. So you want Embiid to be Embiid or not?
No, I want him to be smart and win.
I'm sorry, but that's not Joel Embiid.
Well, then you answered it. The conversation's over.
Joel Embiid's a reckless player.
You said it. I want him to be smart and win. That's not Joel Embiid. That's it. This is the issue.
I just want him to go out there and be who he is.
And what is that?
A guy who's bigger, faster, and can do things that nobody else on the court can do, and he will go up there and put one in your face while he hangs his you-know-what on you.
Well, that's fine. How about win?
His mommy-daddy button.
How about win? How's that sound? I need more out of him in the fourth quarter.
He has to be comfortable. He has to get comfortable with his body, and he can't have the fourth quarter like he had.
It's amazing whenever he doesn't play well at the end of a game, and I gave him credit. He did against the Heat. He had a good fourth quarter. He didn't on Saturday. We do this thing where we talk about the role players. Like, I never heard role players' names until Joel Embiid came up.
You know what him doing more in the fourth quarter might look like? That alley-oop dunk.
No, it wouldn't. It would actually have lift in his legs to hit a jump shot, which he had no lift on Saturday.
That was a lot of lift on that dunk.
Yeah, and then he lost it because he lost it.
On his knee.
It's just silly to me. Like, this role player thing's unbelievable. As if Andrew Bogut is the reason the Warriors
won. I didn't mention a single role player. I'm talking about what I expect from him.
I meant our last caller. The idea that, like, as if I heard about Andrew Bogut with the Warriors or Rick Fox with the Lakers. I mean, come on. Joel, if he plays his best, they can absolutely beat the Knicks. That's all I'm asking. Play at the level that we know we can play. That's it. Let's talk to Big V. What's up, Big V?
Big V.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Big V, what's up? We're trying to get this team to win tonight.
Well, okay. First of all, I got to say one thing. I mean, you've got some callers that somebody pissed in their Cheerios. One guy's whining because the Phillies are beating teams that are, like, not good.
We should all be okay with that. Let's beat up the bad teams.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look at the Sixers. All right. First of all, you're full of crap. You want Embiid to do this. The man came out of operation. He suffered some post-traumatic surgery issues. He goes in there, feels good, slam dunks, and you're upset about that. I mean, really.
Because it was a reckless play that was unnecessary.
And your point is what? It's Joel.
But he doesn't have to do that. Like, if he's telling us he's not 100%.
No. So you got it wrong. You don't have to do that. Joel Embiid has to do that.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Why?
Because he's Joel.
What does that mean, he's Joel?
Okay, he's Embiid. He plays reckless. He dunks in your face and gives you a facial while he's hanging on the rim.
And Big Babe, where has that gotten him?
Oh, what has gotten him? MVP.
Cool. Guess what? Nobody cares about an MVP. I don't care. We all know he's a great player. If he has a trophy in his trophy case, what does that do for everybody? This idea that, well, guess what? Maybe he changes what he does and he goes further this year. Maybe he preserves his body by laying it in from the paint instead of trying to dunk. It just felt to me as so reckless. Whether or not he got hurt or not on it is irrelevant to the point. It just felt reckless. 215-592-9494. We'll get your take on how you feel about this series. We'll make our predictions for tonight. And we don't got to ask Knicks fans how they feel about the series. They might need to slow their roll. We'll dive into it next. They're getting way ahead of themselves up in New York. And they're silly, too. Their franchise hasn't won a thing in 50 years. And they're talking up there in New York. We'll hit that next. Your calls on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Bet on three-pointers made. Let's go over tonight for Tyrese Maxey. Point totals will go under. Yes, that's under. For Tobias Harris, first basket score, feeling Kyle Lowry and more. Just go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
These clowns.
That's enough of those dopes.
That ain't how it work, is it?
No, it's not how it works. Knicks fans don't even understand the bracket. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. So there's Knicks fans chanting after the game they want Boston. Do you think they don't know how this works? You don't get to face the one seed in the second round if you're the two seed. You have to face, you know, the three or the six seed. Do we think they get it?
Putting the cart
before the horse. Oh, okay.
And I think that they're just excited. Like, this is the first time in, what, 24 years that they feel as good as they felt. Like they've already gone to the finals. In their minds, they're already there.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, seriously, they're already there. Because I think the last time the Knicks were in the playoffs was
Well, they were there last year in the playoffs.
No, I mean like in the finals. I'm sorry.
Oh, a long time.
Wait, Patrick Ewing and those cats. John Starks and those cats.
2000, I think, was the last time. Or 99. It's been a long time. Look, they're excited, and that's fine. But I have two theories in this. One, they don't understand how the bracket works, and then two. I think the people in New York don't understand sports anymore. I mean, they haven't won in forever. I mean, that used to be a city that won all the time, or they have all those teams, like multiple teams in all those sports. They've won one championship in that city in over a decade. I mean, it's just been forever. I mean, obviously, the Knicks have stunk forever. We know that. But the other teams kind of stink, too. They don't even know what winning is like anymore. When are we going to talk to those dopes up in New York? We've asked them if they forgot what winning is like.
We are believed to be connecting with them tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So we'll try to bring on Brandon Tierney and Sal Akana. They host the Midday Show up in New York. So
if you can get his name right this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's kind of mad about me not.
What'd you call him last time?
Brian.
You call him BT. It's just that we don't.
Well,
know.
No. It was like I was in Atlanta and we did a show and I was calling him Brian the whole time.
It's like the.
I don't think he liked
the Jim Rome thing. We ever see that
with Chris Everett?
Chris Everett, yeah.
Or like Charles Barkley calling Mad Dog Mike the other day.
Yes. So we will connect with those guys. Hopefully, we need a Sixers win tonight because if we're coming in down 0-2, there ain't a whole lot of trash talking
we can do.
We're in a little trouble. Speaking of the Knicks being clueless, or these are fans. The team's pretty good. So we saw this morning. Kai Carlin, he covers the team. He's up there. He's with the Sixers Wire. He's covering the series. He posted this screenshot or this photo. Did you see this? So on the video board this morning at Madison Square Garden, I guess they're just practicing with some graphics or whatnot, you know, whatever the graphics team's doing. Up on the scoreboard at Madison Square Garden this morning, it says Knicks 0, Celtics 0. So even the video team is looking ahead to the Eastern Conference Final. This feels like putting the cart before the horse.
It does feel like that. And for them to do that and the fans to say what they're saying, That's bulletin board material if there ever has been any.
Well, it's bulletin board material for the Sixers. It's also for their – even if they won this year, it's for their next opponent.
Yeah, it's like you putting yourself – you're putting yourself in a bad spot because whomever you play, which if you may, which I doubt that you will, is going to see that.
Yeah, of course. It's just it's kind of silly. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here, and we will finish with our predictions, our on-the-record predictions for tonight's game. Frank is at Sewell. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys.
What's up, buddy?
So, you're right, Joe. You're right on every point. As far as that dunk, I mean, he's hurt no matter what. This guy's hurt. It's the first round. The Knicks are hungry. The Knicks are a tough team. The Knicks are playing with house money. The Sixers, the toughest Sixers, I think, match up for the first round, like I think so far, since Embiid's been here. This is not good. And Hugh, you're saying he's going to get right, or whatever you were saying a couple hours ago. You're saying he's got to get mentally right. Well, what's you waiting for? You lose tonight, you're done. I mean, they might win tonight and still be done. I mean, this guy, I've been saying it for years. He averages 10 points a game under his playoff average. How come there was no – this wasn't going on 3 weeks before the season's over, or 2 weeks before the season's over? How come he was supposedly – fine, he's healthy if he's ever been going into the – you hear this, you know, national TV, he's the healthiest he's been going into the playoffs 3 days ago. He's not. This guy, you forget it. Even if you squeak by this team, you're where are they going? Nowhere. I'm sorry to say, I'm a big fan. He's great. He's an unbelievable talent. He's made of glass. It's a sin. He's injured. The guy's injured. And what do you expect him to be tonight? What's he going to be, 60%, maybe 70? And mentally, where is he going to be, 30%? I mean, the Knicks are just going to be going after him again. And look, can he come out and drop 40 tonight? Like, I doubt it. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that you're being, you know, pessimistic a little bit. I mean, which is fine. Well, wait a minute. You gonna let me finish, Frank? You asked me a question. I was about to try to answer it for you. You gonna let me finish? No, and that's fine. What I was about to say, Frank, is that's fine. I mean, because you've been dealing with this for a long time. But I will say this. He can't get any more injured than he already is. If anything, the hope is that as he goes through this, as he progresses through this, that he gets better and better every time that he's out there. Now, unfortunately, the other night, he had a little bit of a setback. Now, from what I've heard from him, he's fine and he's going to, you know, probably try to play tonight. He has to play better tonight. And I think that, you know, he will, because I think he's going to have more confidence. I think when he was laying on the ground, Frank, to be honest, he thought it was a lot worse than it really was. And I think
Hugh, how can you say that? I'm sorry. He shot his next 3 shots were short. He never did that.
Frank, because he didn't have any confidence in his body at that point. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, Frank, and we have a priest of folk. I have a different theory on this. We keep wondering if he's going to progress. He's regressing. Am I wrong on this, everyone? Like, when he first got back from the injury, I didn't hear any of this stuff. He's 70%. We kept hearing.
No, you didn't. You heard he was the best shape. He was working his way back.
Yeah, I.
But the playoff. But you, to be fair, Joe, the playoffs are different than the regular season.
But the second last regular season game, he tweaked something. I have a theory. He's re-injured himself. That's what I think is going on. And now, part of it may be because of what he went through in the surgery, and I do think he is cautious, or, you know, when he fell the other night, scar tissue, whatever. But it does, something is off about this. He came back, right? He had the surgery. He was cleared. He came back. I don't remember during those games the conversation was, he's not right. The conversation was, he's back. We all said he looked better than we thought. Am my eyes lying to me, or does he look like he's more injured now or more hobbled now than he was 2 weeks ago when he first got back? And you keep saying, and I've heard Richie say this, he'll progress. My eyes tell me it's deteriorating. What do you see on this, Kyle? Because I don't know the truth. I mean, I don't think any of us know the truth. Nope. I hope it is the optimistic is, as he trusts it more, he'll play better and he'll play freer. I don't know. Why did it change against the Magic a week and a half
That's
ago?
That's where, yeah. It feels like then, and that, like, I think the murkiest part of this whole thing is what happened in the Magic game, and then the game after that against the Nets. Like, did Embiid sit that game out because he's injured? Or did he sit that out because, you know, he just needed to rest? And
right.
If that's the case, then wouldn't he need to be out there to get back up to conditioning?
I know.
So, I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's a lot of mixed messaging, both from the Sixers, from Joel Embiid, and everybody.
I think it has a lot to do with Joe B's confidence in his body. You know, because, I've been hurt before. And the one thing, and again, the one thing that you have to be comfortable with is feeling like you can do everything that you used to do. And it sounds like, just reading the tea leaves, like my favorite thing to do, is that a lot of this for him is psychological. That's what it kind of feels like, because he's even talking about how he has to be able to trust his body. And I think that the one thing that you don't want to do is make him feel uncomfortable in the sense that, you know, he can't go out there and do what he needs to do. But on the flip side of that is, Joe, you just gotta grip it and rip it. Like, cut it loose, bro. You gotta cut it loose. I know it's easier said than done because he's been hurt so much in his career.
Sure.
But he has to cut it loose. He has to cut it loose and believe in his body and know that he's not going to get hurt again.
Yeah, I guess I just can't tell if he was 100% or 95% 3 weeks ago and we're going the wrong way, down to 70. Or was he always at 70 since he got back? And it's louder now because, you know, this is the playoffs and there's more reporting on him. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know the answer to why we keep hearing that he's not where he needs to be. Derek in Payola. What's up, Derek?
Joe.
Derek.
What's up, you?
What's up, man?
How many cups of mushroom coffee you had today?
I've had a few.
What about you, Joe?
Three or four.
That's what I'm saying. Every time I want to take the next step. Like, today is one of the days where you, like, listen, you can't say you need Joel Embiid to play better, right? Because we all do, right? And then you making it seem like just because he threw the ball off the backboard to himself that that's just a bad play and he can't play like that. Bro, if you ever play, and you know, if you ever play basketball, like, you have to play organically. You, like, Tobias Harris is in the dumps right now because he is doing way too much thinking. When you out there overthinking and doing this and doing that, you're not playing the game organically, naturally, right? The game against the Heat, Embiid was probably being a little bit more gingerly, and we didn't like that. When he came out on Saturday, I think he was feeling good, and it's playoff basketball. He was playing with some intensity, and he wanted to make a play. It didn't work out for him.
Minor setback. Yeah.
Right? You can't say, like, that's a bonehead play. And
well, I just think, Derek, I didn't think it was smart. I think there's a difference. Now, I get your point, and I think it's fair. And I'm not saying if he gets a pass under the basket and he's wide open that he shouldn't dunk it or he shouldn't, you know, jump up and put it in. That's a normal every game play. The play on Saturday, Derek, that's not a normal play. I mean, that's not something you see.
You ever dunked a ball before?
Derek, you ever see me? No.
Okay, so listen, I'm going to explain to you this because you might not understand it. Anyone who could dunk a ball would know, especially if you're 7'2", that wasn't no freak of nature play, bro.
But that's
like
not a normal. But that's not
himself.
A normal play. That's not a normal play.
Because because everybody don't have those type of instincts.
But it's just
a bunch of athletic ability to do that play. If you're 7'2", anyone could do that play, bro. When I was in my prime at 6'5", 6'6", I could make that play.
How often in the NBA do you see that play?
That just goes to show you that listen, very instinctful. But I got one more point to make. Right, listen. The Sixers fans, right? We haven't won nothing in over 30, 40 years, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's Doc Rivers this, Doc Rivers that. I feel like the Sixers team is just not constructed properly, right? We don't have no knockdown shooters to play around Embiid. I just feel like, and Embiid loves playing basketball, bro. So when I hear callers call in saying he only came back to play in the Olympics, you know how dumb that sounds, right? If he wanted to just play in the Olympics, he wouldn't have came back at all if it was time to go play in the Olympics. And B likes being out there with his guys competing, and he loves this city, playing for this city, more than the city loves him. That's how it is with most of these guys, man, and it's almost, like, sad to hear these callers just calling here and want all these guys to just play perfect. They can't get hurt. They can't dunk. They can't dive for balls. Like, come on, he's playing basketball, bro.
Oh, he's trying. Body,
he's clumsy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to question that he's trying.
Him.
Yeah, he's trying.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's punishing him.
Yeah,
punishing
I think
trying.
He's given effort. I mean, he came back early from the surgery. Derek, we preached the call. I mean, I think it's unfair to beat him up for that. Like, he's trying. Unfortunately.
Yeah, he came back.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not working.
He'd have caught hell when he went out on the ground and didn't come back. Oh, it would have been bad for Embiid. I mean, I get it. I'm not trying to sit here. Because this is what a lot of people have been dealing with. I'm just trying to give you, you know, peek behind the curtain a little bit. People are upset because this feels like a pattern.
It is a pattern.
Well, it is a pattern. It's a pattern. but I saw in him the other night, he was trying to take over. That's what it felt like to me. Felt like he was trying to take over, and he was confident that his body was going to do something, and it just failed on him, where he thought it failed.
I actually think I'd be more critical of this than if he just couldn't come back in the game. If he couldn't come back in the game, he's hurt. What are you going to do? He's out there. They need him to play better in the fourth quarter to win the game. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go on the record. What are we thinking tonight? Sixers are currently over at FanDuel, I believe, a 5.5-point underdog tonight, similar to what it was, 1 point worse.
A dog?
Yeah, well, of course they're a dog. You think they should be favored?
Well, I'm just saying that momentum in that Garden last night was just phenomenal.
But they're at the Garden again.
Yeah, I guess. But I feel like for the way that game was skewing early on, or the way that it looked in the fourth quarter, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, in my opinion. So I think it would be, yeah, I like the Sixers tonight.
So they're actually 6-point underdogs. So you're picking them to win?
Yeah, I'm picking
on
them
the record?
Yeah, I'm on the record with that.
I think they're going to win, too. I think Maxey's going to play his butt off. I mean, hopefully he could go. I mean, if he can't go, forget this prediction, because then they're in trouble. But as Maxey's out there, I feel like they found something the other night. They just didn't do it enough late where they can't guard him. I don't think the Knicks have one player. And Anunoby, maybe if they put him on him more, because he's a very versatile kind of defender. But he's just so fast in the open court. I think they're going to find a way to win tonight. And I do not believe, and I hope I don't feel stupid tomorrow saying this, I don't believe that guys like Josh Hart are going to hit that many threes again. I think they'll come back to earth. I wish I could tell you I felt great that Embiid was going to dominate. I don't know until I see it, but I think they find a way to win tonight.
You know what this is? Like, it's the biggest difference, I think, from this year to last year is we actually have a coach that's going to adjust. Like, how magical is that? We're going to come into this game with a new plan for how to counter what the Knicks were doing to us in the first game. Like, we can actually bank on that now.
We can.
Great. So I think we come out with the win, too.
I wonder what the nurse adjustment is to the Josh Hart thing. Because there could be a school of thought, like, he can't do that again. Because they left him open the whole fourth quarter. I wonder if nurse looks at it like, I'm going to play the percentages again. He's not a great three-point shooter. If he wants to shoot six threes, go for it, Josh. You're probably going to miss four or five of them this time. That'll be fascinating to see what they do with him tonight. Carl's in Maple Shade. Hey, Carl.
You guys.
Hey, Carl. What's up?
Hey, man. Good afternoon. You know, I think Nick Nurse has his hands full. His two best players, one is the fastest on the court, and the other is the slowest.
Well, so you're not wrong on that. Yeah, their styles are a little bit different when they're running up and down the court.
So he has to scheme up. I don't know who you run this offense through. I don't slow down Maxey. I don't change my game plan and which direction I want to go with how I want to run this offense. It's got to go through Maxey. I mean, I don't see how he has any other choice.
Well, especially if Joel's not himself, right? Because that was the issue I had down the stretch the other night, Carl, that Joel clearly wasn't himself in the fourth quarter, and yet the offense was still going through Joel.
You're talking about the Miami game?
No, the other night.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, I think you're going to see Maxey go off for over 30 tonight. He might just show himself as the dominant player that we all hoped he would be. He could take over this game tonight.
He can.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.